This is the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
All right, 18 minutes after the hour. Welcome back. I'm going to have to get the scoop from my producer, Cassie. Word is that she's a little more aggressive than her husband when it comes to road rage. Hey, welcome back, everyone. Good to be with you. 18 minutes after the hour. You know, I have a tremendous devotion to our Blessed Mother. I love her in a special way. She has helped speed me along the path to greater holiness, to know her Son in a new and an intimate way. And across the centuries, she has interceded for mankind in ways that are just really miraculous. And she has many titles, a lot of different titles that she comes under. One of my favorite is Our Lady of Ransom. Last week, we talked just briefly about this. But today, in many parts of the world, the church is celebrating a beautiful feast in honor of the Virgin Mary. It's known as Our Lady of Ransom or Our Lady of Mercy. And it's not known, it's not part of our mass calendar here in the U.S., but I always found the story behind this just absolutely fascinating and inspiring. And joining me today is a longtime friend of the show here, a great Mariologist. He's a founder of a great website on Marian apparitions, and you can check that out. It's called miraclehunter.com, also a member of the Mariological Society of America. Good to have back with me once again, Michael O'Neill. Hey, Michael, good afternoon.
Thanks, Drew. It's great to be back.
Always a delight talking Our Lady with you. This is a great feast. Now, of course, we don't celebrate it, as I said, as part of our Mass calendar here in the U.S., but a lot of people honor Our Lady of Mercy or Our Lady of Ransom. Share the story, Mike, if you could. Bring us back in time. Tell us what happened and how this devotion began.
Yeah, great, Drew. I think this is a really interesting story, like you point out. And even the name Our Lady of Ransom perks a little bit of interest. Many people have a devotion to the Divine Mercy, and so they always ask, is there an Our Lady of Mercy? So here it is. St. Peter Nolasco, who lived 1189 to 1258 in Barcelona, Spain, had this idea for a religious order where he wanted to redeem the captives that were seized by the Moors and being tortured, and they were oftentimes being asked to deny their faith. Asked with a sword, I suppose you could say. Mm-hmm. And St. Peter wanted to figure out a way to get them out of captivity and figure out a way to offer his life in exchange. Well, on August 1st of 1218, the Blessed Virgin appeared to St. Peter and also to his confessor, St. Raymond of Peñafort, along with King James of Aragon. And she spoke with them with a plan to establish a work for the redemption of these captives. So that from there was born the Mercedarian Order. Now, the name Mercedarian comes from the Spanish word merced, which means mercy. So the idea behind the order was the members would seek to free the Christian captives and offer themselves, if necessary, as an exchange. Well, there was a mass that was said a few days later, and the king went to the cathedral, and St. Raymond went up and gave his story of the vision, and the king sought the blessing of the bishop for this plan, and the bishop bestowed the habit of St. Peter and the two others who gave their vow to give themselves as a hostage if necessary. The order was shortly thereafter established in Spain. Pope Gregory IX gave it the title Our Lady of Mercy, and it was approved. And a feast day was established, and like you mentioned, it's celebrated in Spain and in other parts of the world. And then Pope Innocent XII later extended this feast day to the entire church.
And why not here in the States, though? I mean, it's a beautiful feast. Why not remember Our Lady under this beautiful title?
Well, I think perhaps the reason is because it was more germane to that part of the world. The impact of Islam, although the United States may be feeling a little bit of that as well right now, traditionally that's sort of been a European consideration. So I think it was really something that the European, it would appeal to the European mindset.
Well, I love the fact that we turned to Our Lady in a special way. I think of the ransom, the free captives, but calling upon Our Lady of Ransom for those engaged or at least bound in sin is a great way to call upon her intercession, intercede for those who are enslaved by sin, folks. and call upon her under this title in a special, special way today. You know, Our Lady has many, many titles, doesn't she, Michael? There's always an interesting story behind a lot of those, too, aren't there?
Absolutely. There's many titles, and it's pretty interesting. I've done a lot of research and just creating lists on the various names and titles, and
really?
Almost every virtue has a Marian title. In almost every geographical description, Our Lady of the Hill, Our Lady of the Mountain, Our Lady of the Tree, every kind of tree. So it's people often find Our Lady in absolutely everything. So that just goes to the fact that she's our mother and she's always there for us in all things.
You'll have to tell me where to get that list, because I'll tell you what, it's probably at your website, I'm assuming, but I was in Italy years ago with a friend of mine, a guy who would go on to become a Catholic priest. I don't forget this. We stayed in a little prayer community. It was known as the Oasis of Peace, a little walled city outside of Rome. We had to take a train to get there. And these people lived on God's providence. And, you know, they did adoration 24/7. And just an amazing, amazing story. And one of the brothers from this group took us down. They had this beautiful procession. And they honored Our Lady of the Chestnut Tree. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I never heard of a title like that, Our Lady of the Chestnut Tree. And you know, the legend goes back, and again, you know, we hear these reports of Our Lady's apparitions in every habitable continent all over, of Our Lady appearing to a young girl by this stream and telling the people that they have to return to God. They'd gotten away from this celebration. They used to honor the Lord every day, every year at a certain day with, a Eucharistic celebration, and it turned into this giant party, and then a lot of debauchery set in. And the little girl didn't want to go back and tell the people, because she thought, oh my gosh, I'm going to be mocked and ridiculed. So she didn't. So playing again by the stream, or shepherding her sheep, whatever she was doing, the next day the Virgin Mary appeared. This time her knees were bloodied. And the girl was so moved by Our Lady weeping and so disfigured as a result of the suffering. She asked what happened. And the Virgin basically said, you know, I did this penance on behalf of your people to hold back the hand of God. And the girl immediately went back up, told the congregation or told the town about this, taking her very seriously. Now they went down there, they prayed, they honored Our Lady, and as a result of it, they continue to this day to have, you know, they honor Our Lady of the Chestnut Tree, which she appeared, and the reason she got that title, she appeared in front of a chestnut tree. So that's pretty cool stuff. I love those types of stories where she appears on hills or chestnut trees or valleys, or, you know, Our Lady of Del Valle down in Mexico, or down in you know, Venezuela, places like that. Mike, where can we get your list? Is that at your website?
Yep. If you go to miraclehunter.com, the apparitions are ordered by century and by other tags. There's actually four different Our Ladies of the Chestnut. So
really,
you can go on there and look that up and compare them. So.
What other cool stories? Yeah. Any neat stories in terms of how Our Lady got a specific title or devotion? One that you like?
Well, I think one of my favorite ones is Our Lady the Untier of Knots, and I like that story for no other reason than from a personal on a personal level. Where,
well, we'll share it, Mike, because I've heard of it, but I'm not familiar with it. I mean, I've heard of it several times, and it's a popular devotion even today. But give us the backstory.
So basically, Mary Untier of Knots is. It's sort of an icon, a Baroque icon found in Germany. And the icon actually shows the Virgin Mary untying the knots and at the same time treading on the head of a snake, of course, representing the devil. So the concept of Mary untying the knots is derived from St. Irenaeus, where he explains that the knot of Eve's disobedience was loosed by the obedience of Mary, for what the Virgin Eve had bound fast through unbelief, this did the Virgin Mary set free through faith. Right. So I think that's pretty amazing right there, and we can all sort of relate to that in our very own lives. So it's all based on an icon, but I think that can be extended to all the difficulties that we find ourselves in every day.
Well, awesome stuff. The website, folks, is miraclehunter.com. Check it out. Mike does a great job, great web designer, and a great Mariologist. Thinking of Our Lady of Mercy or Our Lady of Ransom, most people don't know that St. Faustina had apparitions of the Blessed Mother as well, that Our Lady appeared to her as well. So, and of course, Mother of Mercy, she's the Mother of Christ and the Prince, the King of Mercy. So, hey, Michael, keep up the great work, okay?
Thanks very much.
I appreciate all the good work that you do there, and look forward to catching up with you again real soon. Michael O'Neill, folks, the website is miraclehunter.com. It is it's a great site, great resource. It really is. And you can check out Mike there. I'll also link over to him at relevantradio.com underneath my guest. Check out that line, if you will, of titles for Our Blessed Mother. I'll see if I can't come up with one.